I want to take this opportunity to thank the Freedmans who are sponsoring the refreshments in memory of Ravaran, Rav Yaakov Yitzchak, Shem Shirav Naliya, Yishakayach. You guys are so far away. I'm not going to call on you. It's okay. Yeah, but you're so far away. Okay. The founder of Pern's Bookstore, okay? This is before my time. All right. Let's begin. I wanted to focus on the famous Gemara and the Halacha, which has a lot of ramifications and very interesting discussion, both in Lamdas and Halacha Lamaisa, which comes out of the opening Pasuk of our Parsha, quoted by Rashi. And that is the Pasuk, Ve'ela Mishpatim Asher Tassim Lifnehem. These are the laws that you will place. These are the laws that you will place before them. So, obviously, it's from a literal perspective, it's an awkward phrase. And the Chazal understand there's a succession of Rashis which give different explanations for what the Pasuk's deeper message is. And the third Rashi in the Parsha tells us, Lifneihem, Velo Lifnei Goyim. This is a paraphrase, obviously a summary and a paraphrase of the conclusion of the Gemara in Masechta Gittin, famous Gemara on Daf Teches on the Beis. And that is the halacha that if you'll have two Jews who are suing each other, they're fighting over something in one manner or another, they're not allowed to go to secular court, what's known as the Isra Arkaos, to go to a secular court. It's striking, as the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch relate, that this is true even if the basic laws or the judgment is consistent with the conclusion that would have been reached in Beis Din. If it's a very different judgment, for example, a person wins when they would have lost in Beis Din, or they win more than they would have won in Beis Din, so about this, it's easy, because aside from an Isser, which is the Chiddush, but Pashit, Rabbi Kiva Eger, in his Gilyon to the Shulchan Aruch, this is all in Chosh Mishpat Siman Chavav, Kiva Eger says, in such a case, the litigant who wins more than they should have a right to have won, is Chayiv and Isser and Gezel. Chayiv and Isser and Gezel. So if you win more, you're in Halbitzars. But beyond that, and even if you don't get a penny more than you deserve, it's still an Isser Daraisa to go to the court. That's what's known as the Isra Arkos. The Shaila, of course, is why. If we're talking about a case where in the end the same result was reached, why should that be Isra Daraisa? Furthermore, as the Medrash Tanchuma on the opening of our Parsha tells us, it's not just Usr. That's like the easiest thing we could say about it. The Medrash talks about it as a kfira in the Rabbanu Shalom himself. It's as if your mamish over on heresy. Furthermore, Rashi here, and this is paraphrased by the Rambam, piles on. It's not just that you're a kofir, but you're Machal Shem Shemayim. It's as a friend of mine in Yeshiva used to say, bad action. It's just everything your mom says. Very rarely could you find an Avera in which the Rishonim, even in halachic works, are mamish piling on hyperbole after hyperbole, synonyms of just throwing the kitchen sink at a person. Like I said, it's like almost the least thing you can say about the person is over to Daraisa. It's that bad. It's that bad. I'm about to get to it, Alan. How about that? Well done. So the question I want to discuss, among other things, for the why, what's so bad about it, what's the nature of the Isser, and even before we get to that, one Shaila, which Alan is such a good Kasha, the Rishonim asked this question. The Rishonim asked the Kasha, a number of Rishonim asked. They're bothered. After all, we have a halacha, Pashas is Mitzvah Daraisa, called Dina de Balchus Adina. We have to follow the laws of the land in wherever which we find ourselves. So if the laws of the land are being followed in the court, so then what should be the problem of going to court to enforce the laws of the land, which we're supposed to be keeping to begin with? Let's imagine we have, I sell shmatas and you make shmatas. So we had a deal, and I think that you reneged on it. You've defrauded me. So you're not allowed to defraud me, first of all, because it's probably Geneva, but it's also against American law. So you're also violating, so else that, I want to take you to American court to enforce the American law, which you were supposed to keep. Dina lo chusadina, what's the problem? And yet it seems evident that it's an Isra Daraisa, that's what the Chumash says, that's what the Gemara says, I mean. So I wanted to share with you three answers. The most famous one, or the earliest one from the Rishonim, is from the Rashba in a Tshuva. And the Rashba says you have to understand what is Dina d'Malchus Adina mean. And this is a famous sheet of the Rashba. He holds that Dina d'Malchus Adina is very, very limited. It only applies to things in which the state has a material interest. There's gain and benefit for the state. Most commonly, the example is taxes. He says, the irony, of course, is it's the one Achilles heel of so many from Jews. But the Rashba says, dafka by taxes. That's where there's a halacha of dina, the machus of dina, or something, he doesn't use these words, obviously, but it's prescient almost, how the Rashba talks about something which is, for us, a modern concept, eminent domain. That's where there's some material benefit to the state. So in those things, this is the benefit of the state. They have a right to it. They're the government, they're the king, they're the state, the government. And that is where we are chayiv to listen. So, kumtais according to that, says Rashba, you and me, Reuven and Shimon, have a machlokas of a shmatas. So there's two people fighting over here, not a third. The government has no, you know, hopefully, whichever one of us wins, we'll pay taxes on their profits. And now we have to pay al dina d'malchusa. But who's going to get the more money? You or me, at the end of the year, and that we're fighting over. So what's the state has no interest in that. And therefore, dina d'malchusa dina is not shaykh. That's answer number one of the Rashba. The problem with this is, in terms of a big picture, is that not everyone agrees with the Rashba. In fact, the Rashba's Rebbe didn't agree. The Ramban and others, but the Ramban in particular, holds that Dina Malchusa is not limited. Is not limited to just those things like taxes where the state has a material interest. But in fact, it includes that. For sure it includes taxes. But it includes everything. It includes anything and everything where the government has legitimate authority. And it's irrelevant to whether they're gaining or not. So if you accept the Ramban's definition, and this is not a Dina d'Malchusa Dinah here, so I don't want to get into who's right and wrong on that. But if you accept that, so obviously you don't have an answer for our kos, because everything else that we're talking about, so they still have a right to care. If they care about if one citizen steals from another, which they do, so they have a right to regulate that. That should be Dina d'Malchusa Dinah. So we'd have to come on to one of two other answers which are given in the Achronim. The Shach in Choshen Mishpat has another important answer. And he says, the Dina d'Malchus Adina, this is kind of obvious, but it's relevant for us in this case, the way the Shach says it, which is that for Dina d'Malchus Adina, everyone agrees, it's not Shaykh if the Dina d'Malchus Adina in a particular area conflicts with Halacha. Because it never could supersede Halacha. So if Halacha says something is Asr, it can't say something is Mutter. If Halacha says something, and this is where it becomes now relevant, inadmissible, so the fact that, as the Shach says, the secular court is going to have different evidentiary standards, and you may win a case based on evidence which would not have been halachically significant, so then we don't say Dina d'Malchus Adina. That would be a second answer. And a third answer, which I think is also very interesting, is from the Chidah. I didn't see the Chidah inside, but Rav Avadya Yosef quotes it in a Tshuva. And he says that Dina d'Malchus Adina is only shayach to things whose adherence to is there's a hakpada by the government. In other words, if they were makbid, not, so that's why, again, aside from halacha called gezlakum, that's why taxes or stealing are also, aside from the gezela shabo, dina d'malchus adina shabo, they care. It's not just a law in the books, they do care. So that's also dina d'malchus adina. But if they have a mechanism, but they don't care whether you use it or not, it's optional. I.e., whether to sue or not, I'm allowed to be a patsy. You defrauded me, I don't have to sue you at all. And if I do sue you, they don't care if I go to Beis Din. They have a taina, how come you don't go to court? They don't care at all. So the Chidah says, if the government doesn't care how you resolve this one way or the other, so then there's nothing wrong. Lu Yitzuyer, they cared, then from the Chidah's perspective, we could have a problem. We'd still maybe have other answers. But from the other perspective, but given the fact that they obviously don't care how you adjudicate a private dispute, assume that you don't beat each other up or something, then they would care. But if it's just a question of how to settle a legal dispute, they don't care. So the Chidah says that's also not a Dina d'Malchus Adina. So any one of these three answers would explain, again, that doesn't lead to the conclusion of Isser Arkos. The point is, Isser Arkos is an independent Isser. We wonder how does that relate to another halacha called Dina d'Malchus Adina. Any one of three answers, I think, would potentially be sufficient. And certainly, the Shachs and the Chidahs would apply regardless of the machlokas of how to define fine if you're in the Mechus Adina. Yes?
If you go to a bet din, and you should accept it for that din, and if he won, he turns that going down to the
Mechus. We'll get to that.
What's the Sharia of Dinamans?
Not tonight's topic. That's a good question. It's a good question. It's just... Good question. It's not tonight's topic. If you're interested in some heavy reading for Shabbos, I'll tell you, go see the Shilas and Shuvah Dvar of Ram by the Kogar of Simon Aleph. It's a very, very lengthy essay, but I would suggest that you don't eat Shulam beforehand because you might fall asleep. It's a very long and difficult essay. The first Dvar of Ram is a lengthy tour de force on among the Mechusa. Okay. So let's discuss a few other things and then let's get to some of the major issues. One issue I wanted to mention now is, so which types of courts would one go to be in violation? The Gemara's Lashon, which the Rashi quoted, was Nachrim, which we usually understand to be Avodah Zarah. However, it's clear from the Rishonim and the early Achronim that we don't look at it so technically. The Radvaz has a famous, the Taj Beitz has a tshuva which later Poskim quote, that even if for the Jews were living in Muslim lands, so if you'll go to a Muslim court, so assume that Islam is not Avodah Zarah, it's still a violation of B'chuk Oseihem. More contemporarily, the Archa Shulchan, here in Simen Chavav and Archa, in Choshem Mishpat, says that it applies to all courts other than Abezdin. And it's interesting, if you take a look at the Gemara, it says not only, Bezdin Shel Nachrim, it also says Shel Hadyotos, whatever exactly that means from a technical halakha perspective, but Hadyotos even could refer to Jews, obviously. So Kal v'chomer would apply to non-Jews, even if they're not necessarily of the Avodah Zarah. A very interesting shaila, which the Chazon Ish and Rav Yosef and others discussed, once the people started returning to Eretz Yisrael, was what is the status of the Israeli legal system? Right? There you have secular law, but they're Jews. So could you have a arkol shel nachrim by people who are nachrim? Adarabah, they're Jews. So here the Chazon Ish has a yisod. Rav Yosef says this as well, and it's a very important yisod. It's going to carry us through for a number of halachos. In this case, it's a chumrah, but it will also give us kulas as well. And that is really gets to the essence of dina l'mechus adina. Of isra arkos. And basically what they articulate is, again, primarily from the Chazon Ish, and we'll see it even as antecedents earlier than the Chazon Ish, is the idea that the nature, the essence of this arkos is accepting the authority of another legal system other than halacha. That's the Chil Hashem Shabo, because it makes it seem that there's other systems that are superior to halacha, that you don't care about halacha. I, as the Gemara said, even if it comes to the same conclusion, so that's not a taina lakula. If anything, it's a taina against you. Hagufa, so why didn't you go to Beis Din? The fact that even when you got the same, you were still in another court, it's not the decision. The decision is besides the point. It's the going and the almost the implication that you're submitting to a higher authority than halacha, accepting that system, that's the problem. So in terms of this Nakuda, the Chazon Ish says, and Rav Yosef has a longer tshuva, this Lechara would apply even if the judges are all Jewish. What if you have a judge in New York Supreme Court that's Jewish? This Lechara is no different than any court in Israel. It's not a question whether the judge is Jewish. It's the system of law. That's the Nakuda. It's not about the judge, it's not a din in the Gavra, it's a din in the system of law. Accepting a system of law as authoritative other than Halacha is itself the essence of the problem, it's the essence of the Chil Hashem, and therefore they assume that you'd have the same Isser going to an Israeli court as you would to any other court in the world. This relates to another Shaila. In America, there is a growing popularity, I don't know, it could be in other parts of the world too, and for the most part I think it's a good thing, to go to arbitration. Now, arbitration and mediation are two different things, and the difference may very well be relevant to halacha. The shaila is this mutter. So, let's give a little bit of a background. That's a related point, a very related point. I may or may not touch on it, but it's a discussion. The contemporary Rabbanim discuss this. It's not simple at all. The Shach in Choshen Mishpat and Simen Chav Beis has the following Chiddush. the Ramah, there, Shulchan Aruch discuss a case of people who are willing to accept. There, the discussion is, if the two litigants, two from litigants, are willing to accept a karev or a posel as an aid. They're willing to, they're both agreeing to allow what should have been inadmissible evidence. The halacha is that if the two balei didn't agree, it's allowed. What if the two of them agree that they want a non-Jewish dayan? So the answer says the halacha, the Ramah quotes the Shulchan Aruch and Machafei, the Chachil, they shouldn't do it, but assuming that they made a kinyan, v'diyavet it's chal. V'diyavet it's chal. So the shach on that halacha in the Ramah, the whole discussion back and forth with questions arise, and this is makoros to contradict this, at the end of the day, how does the shach resolve the contradiction, and more importantly, what yisod does he posit? A very important one. He says the cases which were not allowed are where it wasn't just that they agreed to a non-Jewish judge, but that they agreed that the judge would determine the case based on some system of law. Whatever it was. A merchant's, you know, a common agreement of, between merchants of a particular business, a civil law, European, Turkish, whoever, what's the difference? No, that's the problem. As opposed to what this Ramah, he says, is referring to, what would be allowed in Tipsalom where the people agreed, is if they made a kinyan that the non-Jewish judge will judge the case based on what? His common sense. No, not halacha. His common sense. He refers to he's an ish neman, the Shach says. They think that this is a trustworthy guy, he's an ethical guy, he's a bright guy. They trust his judgment. They make a kinyan, we'll accept whatever, you know. This is the top litigator, this is the top lawyer expert in that field, this is the top real estate person, it's a real estate argument. They trust this person, they both like him, he's honest, he's impartial. So as long as he's using just his common sense, his own sense of values or ethics, says the Shach, it's okay. If they ask the same guy, you tell us what would it state in American law, so that's already an issue. And I think that this yisod, even though it's not as articulated as clearly, it's mamish the same yisod that all the years later the Chazanish is essentially articulating. It's the same hainuach. Namely, the essence of the Isra of our cause is accepting another system of law as opposed to halacha. Having decisions that are determined, I don't know if it's l'chachila, it's clear from the Ramah, it's not l'chachila, but having decisions that are determined by something other than halacha is not per se the problem. It's when you give another system of law, you supersede halacha with another system of law. But if you just have a decision decided by a flip of the coin, what's wrong with that? And if you ask another guy, tell me, what do you think is fair? What do you think is honest? Nothing wrong with that as well. Now, it happens to be in that particular case in Siman Chaf Beis, the Nesivas HaMishpat disagrees. The Aruch HaShulchan defends the Shach, and it seems to be a very reliable position. And in light of this, Rav Herzog, Rav Pesach Frank, and others were quoted, and really contemporary poskim seem to agree that arbitration, which certainly it's contemporary American incarnate, in which in essence, you're telling the guy, you have no legal precedence that you have to follow. He may decide on his own, you know, I think this guy should be right, because in Maryland law, that's what we consider fair. That's his decision. But as long as he's not bound by any legal precedents, so you're not accepting, when you, in Taviyachol, sign a shtar beruren, or what we call in English, a binding arbitration agreement, to go to the arbitrator, or an arbitration panel, so in essence you're saying, use your seichel, use your common sense, however you want to cheshbonize, you'll cheshbonize. Whatever, you know, the machlokas now, forgive me if I'll indulge for a moment, you know, the big, really, so to stick a machlokas in American law now, whether it's appropriate to be looking at the European or other countries' laws, should that have bearing on our constitutional law? So that's a shaila if we have a constitutional law. But if you're just telling me an arbitrator is going to decide from his own two cents what he thinks, sadra ben hanami, let him go look at the Constitution, let him go look at European law, and let him go look in the Code of Hammurabi. Or let him look inside his conscience. It doesn't matter. As long as we, by asking him to make the decision, we're just accepting his judgment and not a system of law which he was bound to follow in executing the judgment. So then, it seems from the postscript that there would not be a problem. There would not be a problem using arbitration as I just defined it. If there would be precedent, if there would be legal laws that he has to follow, so that it's no better than going to court itself. Yeah. I was like, Alan, yeah. I didn't get to that yet. Everything we're talking about now, to make it very simple and narrow, that's a legal thing, we try to keep the judge as narrow as possible, is two from Jews. The only thing I talk about now is two from juice.
What about with regard to arbitrary
not
chasing?
Yeah. No, no. It could be any denomination. It's no better or worse.
As long as it, but they have to agree before he agrees or after. If the Jew is doing
a negative halacha, no, that's a mechila. Anyone who goes into anything, and this is, by the way, well, I'll give you this is a halachic thing in a second. Anyone who goes into anything, whether it be a Bezdin or any other arbitration, without first signing a binding agreement that both sides will listen to it, is a fool. Forget Asur Mutter, it's a fool. So I'm assuming, of course, that they agreed ahead of time.
No arbitrator will.
Right, right. They shouldn't. They shouldn't. It's a waste of their time. It's a waste of everyone's time. Now, let's see. Adkan all the Yisurim, so to speak. Well, I just gave you a heter. I just did just give you a heter. It's not Adkan. But let's focus.
It seems so worldly. A bunch of Yosef's arguments and others, it seems that we're living in our lives on a system of non-halacha. We didn't know our commerce and our
right.
Trade.
100%. Which is why this is the meta topic of Parshas Mishpatim, Jewish civil law, Chosha Mishpat. There's a tremendous amount, even officially on the books, of issues that come up in various areas of halacha, especially Mekach u'Memkar, which essentially acknowledges Menach HaSochrim, Situmta, right? And Echanami. We very much architect on that. And there's a little bit of, I would say, a subjectivity in terms of the flavor of different Batei Din, but there are certainly Batei Din. Nowadays, if two people have a Chosha Mishpat, argument and they go to a Bezdin, many, many Batei Din. I think most, the good Batei Din, any Batei Din that I would want to go to, frankly, would be one which would certainly obviously have Bekiyas and the Shulchan Aruch and the Shalos and Shuvas, but would also very much factor in what is done, what were the Bali Dover reasonably expecting given law. Did they sign a shtar? In other words, halacha, if somebody signed a shtar to follow Maryland law or something like that, you may need to, the halacha may still be you have to go to Bezdin, but a reasonable Bezdin is going to follow that. Because you committed yourself, there's a hischaivus. That itself is a halacha category. So, obviously, it takes a certain level of sophistication as the part of the Dayan, which is why we wanted to hopefully have as sophisticated Batei Din as possible in order to be able to navigate this. There are at least two models of Batei Din, which I would say I'm very comfortable with. There's one model in which the three Dayanim, take a sophisticated commercial case, who the three Dayanim are Dayanim, in the simplest sense of the word, but they will consult with an expert in whatever the field is about which the litigation is happening. To me, that's certainly a good model. And there's another model, which in a certain sense is a little bit more progressive, although I don't like that term at all, a little bit more, which at least one Bezdin, prominent national Bezdin, uses, in which they will use, as a shlish, the third Dayan, will be a frum person, but not because he's a baki in the Shulchan Aruch, but because he's a mumcha in whatever the field is. So if it's a child custody case, they'll use a frum child psychologist. And if it's a Mekach HaMemkar case, it depends. If they're fighting about taxes or something like that, they'll get a tax expert. If it's a real estate deal gone bad, they'll get a real estate mumcha. But exactly because of the point you're mentioning, I think that's certainly true. But again, that's still within the frame. By going to Bezdin, you're saying, I want that system. However, that system takes into account New York state law, Maryland law, v'chule, but I want that system and the people who are hopefully representing that system, i.e. Torah, to make the decision. I mentioned that there are... Who said that? I just said that's okay. Right. You mean if you add, yes, that's the other part of the siman. That's the siman in Shulchan Aruch, siman chavayis. The arkos is siman chavav. But siman chavayis, for siman earlier, that's exactly what we're talking about, where you have the two balei din, as an example, who are willing to accept evidence which shouldn't have been, or apostle aid, right? They both agree that the woman should testify. You're allowed to do that, if they both agree. So the one step further, which is more complicated, is what about if they agree to have apostle dying? But an economy. An economy. Now, I want to mention now some of the classic exceptions to the rule. Some of the classic exceptions to the rule. Arbitration is really a different model. It's not the rule itself. But there are times where one is allowed to go to court. Mamish court, except another system of law, and there are a few exceptions. By far the most significant exception, which was already discussed by Rishonim, not explicitly in any Gemara, although the Rishonim bring rayas from Gemaras, is the following case. The Rush in Baba Kama quotes, again, it's based on a Gemara in Baba Kama, and it really goes back to Gaonim, who said it a little more explicitly, but it's made famous by this Rush. So what if you have the following case? You are the Toveya, you want to go to Beis Din. So you're Toveya in the Beis Din. But he doesn't show up. He doesn't come. He ignores the Hazmanas. He accepts Hazmanas. You make a date. He doesn't come. You're trying to go to Beis Din. And meanwhile, this guy's stalling. He doesn't want to go. So the Rosh says, based on this, if you've tried to go to Beis Din and you can't go, you're allowed to take him to Arkos. In other words, the Isser Arkos is not supposed to become a weapon to be used to hurt people. It's there to hopefully have a Jewish Torah-based system to decide cases, who's right, who's wrong. But if you have somebody who's using that as a weapon against others, if you were sued in court, so if you don't come, you'll be in default, and the marshals will garnish your wages in the bank. So you say, oh, forget that. Who needs that? The Torah says, no, I can't go to court. I can go to Beis Din. Well, we have Shoftim. We don't have Shotrim anymore. So how are we going to enforce it? Yeah, I'm Mazman him. He's not coming. He doesn't get an Aliyah and Shul. I'm going to hang up a pekel on the wall. Great. He'll keep his $1 million, and he doesn't get an Aliyah. He'll be just happy. That way he doesn't have to give me Shaberach. He keeps the whole $1 million. Right? That's not going to help. So I have to become the victim. I have to become the patsy. I lose money. This guy defrauded me $1 million. I'm trying to go to Beis Din. He won't go. So says the Rosh. In such a case, en echanami. Now the post can point out that what's supposed to happen is you're supposed to go to Beis Din. And if they won't go, then they're supposed to write you what's known as a heter, or, you know, they're supposed to write you a thing explicitly mattering that you can now go. You've tried different, but they didn't have different rules. Some will say three times, they'll wait a month in between the times, whatever the case may be. But the bottom line is, a reputable Beis Din does not like to be taken advantage of any more or any less than a Baal Dover wants to be taken advantage of. And if they're being flouted, a good Beis Din will write a heter to allow a person to go to Beis Din. That's based on a Rush. It's quoted in Shulchan Aruch explicitly in Siman Chavav. Huh? To go to court, yes, I'm sorry. That's a halacha psuka. Now, I just want to mention something very interesting. The Kli Chemda of Meir Dan Plotsky, one of the earlier Sefer Halacha al Seder HaParshias, one of the classics, I should say, not so early, it's relatively recent, but it's a classic. The Kli Chemda, in his opening essay on our Parsha, quotes this Halacha, and he asks Akasha, which is so obvious and so powerful, you wonder how come it took to the Kli Chemda to ask it. Kli Chemda asks the following. The Isra Arkos is what we call a Lav Haba Mechlal Asay. There's no Isra in the Chumash. This just says, El Rishvatr Tasmuf Neyem. I have to bring it to Beis Din. That seems to be an assay. But we don't look at it as much as assay. It becomes, as known as a lot, Lamaisa. It's a los assay. The halacha, which is paskin in numerous circumstances, is that in order to avoid violating a los assay, you have to be willing to give up and expend all the money that you have. The halacha of shlish or other things such as that, limiting the expense that you have to have for mitzvos, that you have onus mamon, is only mitzvah aseh. But for a los aseh, to avoid eating treif, to avoid being mechal Shabbos, someone says, I can't make a living unless I work on Shabbos. Too bad. If it was, I can't shake lulav if I'll have to lose money to shake lulav, so then maybe, taka, if you're going to lose so much money, maybe you'd be butter. That's the halacha. But a los aseh, you have to lose all your money. That's the halacha. You'll get tzedakah. So practically, I don't understand. All the Rishonim seem to agree. Shulchan Aruch paskins. It doesn't make any sense. You should have. Ah, you're going to tell me that I tried to bring the guy to court and he's okay. So he should have to do tshuva. And Echanami, he's doing an avera. He becomes a gazlan. But how does that matter me to be over the yisur d'oraisa of our coast if it's a lo sase? I have to lose the money.
So the whole basis of this lo sase is based on Kol Hashem. It's no bigger Kol Hashem not to get the bicycle to court.
Very good. You're very close. Very, very close. You're very, very close. So before I get to that answer, which you're getting close to, the Chichamda tries one answer. The first answer the Chichamda tries is based on the Gemara in Baba Kama, Daf Chaf Zayin, that we know that within certain parameters, Halacha does sometimes recognize, if not entirely encourage, vigilante justice. That a person is allowed to take the law into his own hands to get back what is rightfully his. Now, if it's wrongfully his, then he's a ganav, aside from being a mazik, but in a posheya. But if it's really rightfully his, so in certain circumstances, a person is allowed to take the law into his own hands. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch says in Chosh Mishpat Siman Dalad, even physical force, even beat up a guy to get his money back, if that's what he feels is necessary. So if that's the case, says the so maybe that's the possibility. If I'm allowed to beat a guy up, which is certainly us or otherwise, I'm certainly allowed, so I could certainly go to court. That's his first theory.
You can't kill him.
For sure not.
Over here, it's
a problem
that the Chosh Mishpat
Siman Dalad
says that the
so you're saying that people will find out that you beat him up and that's Chil Hashem? He's saying, once we know that in certain cases you're allowed to beat a guy up to get your money back, so once you're allowed to beat the guy up, better instead of beating him up, bring him to court.
Yeah, but if you bring him to court, I'm
there. Again, so you have to be clear. I don't think I said, and I don't think it would be accurate to say, that the Isser is the Chil Hashem. There's the Rambam and others, and it's striking that it's the Rambam and it's not just in the Mor Nevuah, you know, it's even the Mishnah Torah and Sefer Mitzvos. They do pile on how terrible of an Avera this is, and that it is a Chil Hashem, and it is a Kfira, v'chule. But that's really, together, you know, piling on. The Isser is the Isser. The Isser is to go to court. So now we see the Shulchan Aruch says it's a Heter. Sometimes you're allowed to go to secular court. So his svara, maybe it should be the explanation is, because we know that in some cases you're allowed to do things shalom and adin. Enechanami shalom and adin, but sometimes you're allowed. Maybe this is an example of that. If I'm allowed to beat the guy up, this is not a weapon that I'm using. But the reason he rejects that, among others, he says, is because there's limits to that. And wouldn't you know, based on a true Masadeshin, one of the limits is, I can't use Goyim. I'm not allowed to go get some guys from the neighborhood to beat him up. So if I'm not allowed to use Goyim to beat him up, I can't use non-Jewish courts. Now, I don't know. This is almost too cute, and I don't think he discusses it. What if you found, you know, Judge Arthur Greenstein? You know, then it's a Jew in a secular court. Maybe according to this answer, it would still work. I don't know. But the answer that he really likes, which is an answer that a number of people seem to say really may go back even to a Chasam Sofer, I think is the true answer. And it really fits into the general theme that we have articulated from the Shach to the Chazanish. And now we'll add these Ma'ar Mekomos as well in this Nakuda. Namely, what is the essence of the Isser? The essence of the Isser is that I have subordinated the Torah system of law, and I have given priority to another system of law. Right? That, we said, is the nature of the Isser. That's why arbitration might be mutter, v'chulei, v'chulei. Says the Chemda, and again, others, simple. Here, did I subordinate halacha? On the contrary, I went to Beis Din. Where did I go first? I prioritized Beis Din. I didn't subordinate Beis Din. I prioritized Torah. I went to Beis Din. Once, and Hasmana, and two, and three. And I just was... In the last few weeks, I'm not sure why I've been zochet l'kach. I've had two different people. I want to say they're all friends of mine, although one of the friends is old enough to be my father, and the other friend is Taka, a friend my age, who have been calling me, asking me for advice, which relates to in cases that relate to one explicitly. Mamash, this week, in a very, very high-profile case, someone asked me about the issue of Harkos in Beis Din. I'm not sure they realized that it was Mamash from this Parsha, and I didn't have the heart to tell them, because I didn't want to embarrass the person, because it didn't mention, it seemed to be unaware that it was almost, you know, ironic that he was asking me this week. Maybe he didn't know, I don't know. But anyway, very, very high profile case, asking me my advice on something. And more recently, over many months, is a case that's still a case that has already been taken to Arkos, but really they're trying to get it into Beis Din. And now, so one of the cases where there's a Rav even involved on one of the sides, and they were Toveya, this person who's already gone to Arkos, they were Toveya him to Beis Din, and like after 2 weeks of not responding to Hazmana, this guy with like 10 years of yeshiva background and a Rav on his side sent back that we don't understand Hebrew. Could you send it again? You know, and this is like totally de rigueur. These are people who play games. So what happened here? I didn't dismiss halacha. I went to the Beis Din. and I ask them to go. I'm prioritizing halacha. I'm not accepting or giving priority to some other system of law. On the contrary, I'm a Beis Din yid. I'm a Torah yid. I want to go to Beis Din. Elamai, this guy, he's playing a game. He doesn't understand Hebrew. He's not here. He's not there. He doesn't like this rabbi. This rabbi's beard is too long. This rabbi's beard is too short. This rabbi's beard is too white. This rabbi's too black. You know, he's using the system against me. And that's, as we said from the beginning, that's never what the halacha was meant for. So in such a case, it's not that we're being matir the lo sasei for you to save your money. Klichem to ask a good kasha. We don't usually matir lo sasei for that. It's a b'chi ha'gavna, so to speak, well, we usually say this about the rabbanans, but he's saying this on a daraisa level. B'chi ha'gavna lo nemra. There is no isra in such a case. The isra would be if you went to the court instead of Bezdin. You prioritize that system. But here you prioritize Bezdin. You went to Bezdin first. The guy still won't go? So there's no reason for you to fall on the sword, so to speak. You're allowed to go. You've already, so to speak, you've forgiven, you've mamish, forgive the expression, but you've kissed the ring, as you went to Beis Din first. You showed your loyalty, you showed your priority to Beis Din, so now you go collect your money. This guy's a ganef, basically. He's taking advantage of you. I'm not sure how they. He was Mazalzel Beis Din, that which is its own problem. I don't know if they would formulate it like this, though. I'm not sure. Right. Okay. Yeah. And that's a problem. An economy. Right. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Now, I want to mention, I have a few minutes left. I want to mention, I do have a few minutes, right? You're like cleaning up already. I do have a few minutes, right? Okay. Making sure. Okay, thank you. No, definitely not. That is interesting, child. That is the Radvaz. I didn't see this at all in this context, but you're reminding me of a famous Radvaz who says, if you are in a case with a guy, you know the truth that he's chayiv you. He's denying it in such a way that Beis Din is going to make him take a shavua. When you see he's about to take a shavua, he's one of the few halachos which they throw the book at you, like with Arkos, is the way Chazal speak with someone who would take a shavua sheker. You see, this guy is such a mechutzuf. It's not just that he stole from you, it's not just that he lied to Beis Din. He's going to take that shavua. A sheker. I see he's about to do it, and it's an aveira chamura. Ask the Radvaz and the Tshuva, do I have to be mocha the money at the last minute to help save him from that aveira? And that's similar to what you're saying, right? He says, absolutely not. I don't have to become the patsy. That's his judgment. I have a right to, again, we believe in personal property. I have absolutely a right to take him to Beis Din. He was Tove, he was Ghana for me. I'm absolutely right. That's not my judgment. I think the same answer would be here. Let me mention, I just have a few more minutes, let me mention a few more points. Number one, one thing which is obvious, I didn't say yet, but it's clear from the Gemara, we're talking about a case of two Jews. Two from Jews, but certainly, if you have a non-Jew, so no one says you're chayav to be mazmin and to Beis Din so that he can ignore it, and then you can go straight to court. That's not, you don't need a heter, that's fine. There's some discussion about what if you have a non from, Baal Din, do you have to try to bring him to Beis Din? Now, there's a good chance that he's not going to want to go to Beis Din, but you have to at least try. The minach ha'olam, when I say in terms of Baal Batim, is people don't try. For the most part, they go straight to Beis Din, straight to court. There a private letter was written by Rabbi Bleich, but private, he gave permission, was published in an article by Rabbi Broid, but it was a letter to Rabbi Broid when he was in law school, where Rabbi Bleich suggested maybe the same svara that Rishonim give about a Gaiash litigant, that we can assume that he's not going to go to Beis Din, and therefore I can just go straight to court. Rabbi Bleich says, Bederech Efshar, what he calls a limud schus, maybe that's why people who have, Bali Din, who are not from, if you're really that confident that he would never have gone, maybe that's why they go straight to court. But there's no, let me finish, please. There's no real, as I know, beyond that letter, real literature about it. It's a little bit of a difficult, parsha. One final point I'll mention now, leave some other things for another day. One final point is a very important shuva from Rav Moshe, which I had to give a psak on a while ago. One of the other rabbanim in town was away on vacation, and as we sometimes do, I was covering. And usually when that happens, you get like, you know, I wouldn't say kleina kashrus, but you get, you know, regular Yeridaya type shaylus. Here the guy calls me with like, he's in the middle of this massive din Torah, which apparently the other Rav and the Dayanim in town knew about. It's just one of these major Dini Torah in the community, which I knew nothing about. And the problem was, while the Din Torah was slowly processing, this guy was panicked that the other guy was getting rid of all of his assets. So even if he'll win in Bezdin, there's not going to be anything. So he wanted to know, is he allowed to file a temporary injunction? Does he have to go to the Bezdin? He wasn't sure what the Bezdin would tell him. He was all nervous. So I told him right on the spot that it's absolutely mutter. And there's no Israel Kos. The Bezdin should not penalize you for that. He'll tell them, I told you it was okay. Why did I tell him that? Because the tshuva of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe, and I want you to know, the P.S., the Bezdin, at first gave him a little bit of a trouble, and then he called me back. I said, tell him, here's the simon. Tell him it's in Rav Moshe. And I think it ended up being okay. But Rav Moshe says the Farish, that a temporary injunction is fine. Why? Again, it's all, I think, the same lumdus. Because I'm going to go to Bezdin. I just want to make sure that Bezdin has something that's actionable. And if this guy is going to get rid of the money, again, the whole purpose of Israel Kos is not that that the innocent people should be taken advantage of. It's that the Torah system should be able to adjudicate in the proper time. But if someone is going to be abusing the system and hiding assets beforehand, and this is not making a decision, it's just freezing and preserving the status quo, so that's never what the Israel was intended to prevent. All right, we should all have a good Shabbos and not need any halachas, hopefully. Nobody